Ralph's son is a part of our church family, helped lead the worship this morning. Garrett, we're very happy to have you here with us and thankful that you can attract your parents also to come and visit you. Thank you. Isn't it such a great assurance to us as we begin to look at this topic of faithfulness, as we think about that song, that the call that you have just heard is not something that God is calling you to grit your teeth and work up within yourself how you're going to do this, but it's all based on the faithfulness of Jesus himself to you. That because he is faithful to you, you are able to be faithful to him and to one another as well. I'm so grateful for that. Every last thing, I hope you know this, every last thing that you hear preached, taught here, Sabbath school, etc., everything, last thing that we say, if we put it in the way that we sometimes don't even like to hear it, every should that you hear is only possible through Jesus. And it is completely possible through Jesus if it is his will for you. And we try and teach only the things that we believe with all our heart based on his word are his will for you. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you for the privilege that we have had of worshiping you, of experiencing your presence, of praying, of seeking your face, and knowing that you are here to meet us. Please, by your Spirit, by your word, speak to our hearts. Please, by your creative power, transform us. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't have assurance of being in your family, accepted by you, that that will change today. And I pray for all of us, knowing you, that we may grow more and more like Jesus in your will. I pray, amen. Faithful. Notice our English oak here. Every time you look at one of these trees, I want you to think of this word. Faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? As Daniel shared with you, and as you have in the insert in your bulletin, these three words, I am committed to be the core values of my ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his people. And as I am pastoring here, I am committed to teach and to lead, and by the grace of God and the power of his Holy Spirit, not just to inspire you, but to foment among us the work of God, where we are encouraging and inspiring each other in these values that come straight from his word, the values of love, of faithfulness, and freedom. Last Sabbath, we focused on love. We focused on the scripture that said, by this you will know, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And this Sabbath, we are going to focus on faithfulness. We are going to focus on what it means to be faithful. Now, I think you most all probably know what holiday we are celebrating this week. You probably have made plans based on the holiday that we are celebrating this week. Who can tell me what holiday we are celebrating this weekend? Labor Day. Oh, what scholars you are. Yes, today is Labor Day. Now, I am going to ask for a little interaction here, actually. I'm going to isolate the microphone here. And I'm going to ask, this is a funny holiday, by the way. Let me tell you some of the challenges I had finding this picture to share with you to illustrate Labor Day. You know what? If you Google, just go try this. Google Labor Day and go to the image tab and try and find a picture that includes a woman. Isn't that ironic? You've labored, haven't you, Kara? Yes. And so many of you here have labored. And of course, there's a whole lot of muscly arms with sledgehammers. There's one carrying a girder, and it was just really a challenge to find one with a woman. And of course, another thing that's funny about Labor Day is, as many of you may know, the history of Labor Day. It comes out of the fact that people were thinking about how all these different heroes are celebrated with holidays. But the very foundations of our economy, the people that go to work every day and do the job before them, no holiday for them. Now we're breaking it down into parts. We have Administrative Assistance Day and other. If we haven't gotten to your job on behalf of a grateful nation, I apologize. If we don't have a specific holiday for what you do, but know that we have Labor Day. So I'm going to ask, if you consider yourself and what you do to be celebrated by the holiday that we are going to celebrate on Monday, I would encourage you, I would implore you, please stand at this time. This is not a lazy congregation, is it? Anybody here work for a living? All right, come on. And it's okay. If you're not able to work at this time for gainful employment at this time in your life, that's okay. We celebrate and we love you too. But so these groups, stay standing. Don't get lazy on me now. All right. Can anyone say thank you to the laborers in our congregation? 1, 2, 3. Thank you. I'm not done with you. We praise God for you, and we ask God's blessing and His strength on you as you do what you do. But I'm going to, you may want to sit down now, but please don't. I'm going to, let me see. I'm going to ask those who work with a bunch of other people to remain standing, and the rest can sit down. If you work by yourself, we still are celebrating you, but for purposes of what I'm doing. Okay, I'm going to pick out Dennis right here. Hey. Got this all up and running. Dennis, what do you do for a living?
Teacher.
Okay, let's try that again.
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher. Okay. He just got a thank you. And we're going to actually have Education Sabbath 2 Sabbaths from now. So we're going to actually specifically thank God and ask God's blessing on all of our educators. Now, Dennis, do you enjoy your job?
Yes.
Is it always easy?
No.
No, okay. Now, I want to ask you this. Now, last Sabbath, we focused on love. I think I'm doing fine with him. Y'all can sit down. Okay, just rest, but not you.
Okay.
So, Dennis, how many teachers are there at your school? About?
Close to 30.
Close to 30 teachers at your school. Now, were you here last Sabbath?
I was not.
You were not. Okay. We will talk later.
Yes.
Were you at the men's retreat?
No. The Fairmont program.
A Fairmont program. Well, see, you were worshiping with
yes.
God's people. So praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. All my worries are gone. So last Sabbath we talked about how in the family of God, a person should be able to expect no one should leave any encounter with someone from the family of God without being loved. Mm-hmm. Okay? The foundation of every other characteristic of the family of God is love, because the foundation of God's character, the center of God's character, is love. And so here's what I want to ask you, Dennis. You believe in love, right?
Yep.
Where's Audie?
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen. Okay. She believes in love too, and she believes in your love, right?
Yep.
Right. Okay. So, what if you and all the other credentialed teachers, administrators, and staff, and classified staff at your school, what if you all every day just showed up with one agenda item, and that was to show love? How would that work out at your school?
It would be a nice place to be.
It would be a nice place to be. Now, if that was your only agenda, to make sure that everyone feels loved, I'm wondering, how would you, what would you suspect as to how much math would be learned?
My guess is it would be enough of a motivator to make sure math is learned.
Okay, I like the way you're thinking, but you're not being my puppet here the way I want you to. So if the teacher, for example, the math teacher, you're an elementary teacher, right?
Yes.
So part of the day you teach math, right?
Yep.
So if during that part of the day you just dedicated that time to love and love alone, and every day at math period you just threw out the equations, you just threw out, let's see, what do you do to, do you have like a projector to show the kids, or do you have an actual whiteboard or chalkboard?
Yeah, whiteboard.
All of the above. So you just threw out writing anything on the board. Mm-hmm. You said the goal of this is just to love these kids and for them to love each other and be loved. And you threw out the math textbooks and everything. How do you think the standardized testing in math would go at the end of the year?
That would be a problem.
That would be a problem.
Dismal.
So what I heard you actually say when you were actually saying that love would make everything better was that through your teaching, you manifest love.
Correct.
And if everybody manifested love through their teaching, the kids would just be better off in every way, shape, and form.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
But love itself would not teach them math, would it?
No.
No, it wouldn't. Okay, my arm's getting sore, so we're done.
Okay.
Now, I'm wondering if you guys thought any at all. I'm sure you did think a bit as I was talking with Dennis extensively. Love is always expressing itself concretely. And in our lives, in our workaday lives, if you're a mechanic, you know, Aaron back there at the soundboard, if your only agenda at the auto body shop was just to love the customers, not many fenders would get straightened out, would they? Because the fact of the matter is, without faithfulness, love does not accomplish what love is meant to do. So what I want you to understand this morning, that God, as He calls us to be a family founded on love, He calls us within that, from that, through that, to be a family that is faithful. You remember this old picture? This is actually the original photograph of Nipper the dog, the RCA Victor dog, expressing something that was of great value in the culture at that time and still is today. The value of faithfulness. The title of this picture is His Master's Voice. The idea that this dog, out of love for his master, when he hears the master's voice, responds and goes through. I want to look at Jesus reflecting on that in John chapter 10. As Jesus describes the faithful relationship between Him and His people. John 10, 27 and 28, it says this. It says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they" what? "They follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand." Isn't that a wonderful promise? But you notice what's right there just before the center of it. His sheep hear His loving voice, they hear His call, and what do? They follow Jesus. They follow the shepherd. They trust the shepherd. They know that in following the shepherd, they are following their purpose. They are following what will bring them every good thing that they need in life and everything good they are meant to do. Of course, with sheep, some of those good things that they're to do, they don't know about, thankfully. Like being shorn and all of those kinds of things. going on in Luke chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, more explicit call to faithfulness that Jesus is looking for in his people as we are here on earth waiting for him to come. The Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise servant, steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season?" Listen to this last sentence. "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." Jesus is calling for his people to be faithful as we wait and look for his soon coming. He calls us whatever he has placed before us. However we hear his call, he has called us to be faithful to him. Paul, writing to the people in Ephesus in Ephesians 1, verse 1 and 2, he describes them. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." What are the people of God called to be? Faithful. We are called to be faithful. Whatever he has put before us, he has called us to choose that which he has put before us. Whatever he has called us to and asked us to do, he has asked us, he has called us to do it faithfully. As we go down to the book of Revelation, we see a description of God's people clear to the end of time in the last struggles of earth's history as the political powers of the earth conspire with religious powers even. It says, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? Revelation 14:4, describing the 144,000, these first fruits of the people of God, going back to the whole shepherd imagery, kind of a different twist on it because the shepherd is the Lamb. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. If you're faithful, number one, you will listen to the shepherd. Does that make sense? If you are faithful to the shepherd, number one, you will listen to the shepherd. As you reach out to listen to the shepherd, if your heart belongs to the shepherd, are you going to begrudgingly listen to the shepherd or more eagerly listen to the shepherd? If you're faithful, you are going to eagerly long to know what the shepherd has to say to you. As a Christian who has the Word of God, what does that mean you're going to be doing? Regularly, by yourself and with others. What does that mean you're going to be doing? You're going to be going into His Word. You're going to be praying. You're going to be reaching out your heart to Him in prayer and in study of His Word so that you can listen to the shepherd. Because where the center of your life is in Him, there's nothing better for you to know, nothing better for you to understand than what He wants to do for you and what He wants for you to do. Nothing better for you to know. If you are faithful, having heard the shepherd, having understood his heart towards you and what he wants for and from you, you will then do what? You will follow the shepherd. You will follow the shepherd. You will keep your eyes on the shepherd to see where the shepherd is going. You will listen to the shepherd to hear where the shepherd is calling. And then wherever that might be, you will follow the shepherd. Isn't that what the Psalm 23 says? It describes following the shepherd, you know, by the still waters, through green pastures. When he tells you to lie down, you lie down. When he offers you the water, you take the water. What about when he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death? Will you follow him? Yes, you will follow him because you trust the shepherd and know that the shepherd is faithful to you. And so you can faithfully follow the shepherd even through the valley of the shadow of death. And you will, as some I heard you saying, will fear no evil, for he who is faithful to you is with you, and you will follow him wherever he goes, just like it says in Revelation 14, verse 4. And third, if you're faithful to the shepherd, you will do what the shepherd says always. Now understand, as I put these three things before you up on the screen, to listen to the shepherd, to follow the shepherd, and to do what the shepherd says always, you might be tempted to think that you have been disqualified somehow because you're only human. Because you've made these commitments, you've made these promises before. You've made the commitment to get up every day and to reach out with your heart in prayer to God. You've made the commitment to every day get out his word and read his word. And then you've committed yourself to wherever he leads, to follow him. You've committed yourself to whatever he says, to do it, to keep his commandments. And then you have stumbled. And then you have found yourself like that lost sheep, caught in a bush somewhere, nowhere near the shepherd as far as you can tell. Feeling lost, feeling like a failure. Well, the good news is that this shepherd is the one who will always be looking for you. This shepherd is the one who doesn't just expect you to keep your eyes on him, the author and finisher of our faith, but he keeps his eye on you. And when you stumble, he isn't keeping his eye on you so that he can look at you and say, "Bad sheep. I should have never bought you. I should have never let you in my flock." No, he is looking at you to see how he can help you. He is looking to you to see how he can safely shepherd you all the way through to that place where it says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." This is how the shepherd watches you. And between you looking to him, and if you, like Peter, should falter and look somewhere else and start sinking beneath the waves, and you cry out for help, guess what his heart says and makes him do? His heart makes him reach out and rescue you every time. If you want to look at it in terms of sin and righteousness, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He writes these things to us in order that we may not sin, but if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And did you notice in 1 John 1:9, it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only thing that makes it possible for you to continue following him faithfully as his sheep is that he is your faithful shepherd. He loves you, and he has made the way for you to come through. Now, just what are we called to be faithful in as a family here at English Oaks Seventh-day Adventist Church? What is the calling to which we are called to be faithful? I'm going to make three, if you'll see these as three concentric circles or spheres. The first thing that we are called to be faithful to is the God who made us. In a world that increasingly doubts the very existence of our God, in a world that is filled with stories that write him out of the history of where we came from and who we are called here at English Oaks Seventh-day Adventist Church, we are called as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to stand up and not just say, but to let our lives be a demonstration of the fact that there is a God who is love, who created us, and has a purpose for our lives. No matter how dumb that might make you look to some people, to be faithful and to say, "I am his. I serve the God who created me. I base my life, my foundation is that he is the God of love, that I believe in. And I am here to share that God with you and you and you and anyone who does not know Him. Because the purpose of my life is to be faithful to His calling to make Him known to the world around me by the words I say and by the life that I live. And then I was puzzling over what to put in the middle of the circle, you know, because there's a sense in which I would want to say God is the center. But the reason why I have the circles the way they are is because God is the big picture within which the other pictures would not even exist. Okay, are you with me on that? So as we paint these circles of what we are called to do and be as the English Oaks Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is how it works. First of all, the biggest picture of all is that we are called to be faithful to represent God in our world, who He really is. And then, so key to that, the next layer, the next level of calling that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel itself. We are called to be faithful to the gospel. We are called to be faithful to the true story that God, rather than lose us when we each went to our own way, all like sheep going astray, that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, who lived a perfect life among us, who then took upon Himself our sins with all of their guilt and separation that they bring, the death, and took it all upon Himself for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, a righteousness is revealed, a righteousness which is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the just, the righteous shall live by faith. The gospel is the story of Jesus and how He saves us by being making ourselves good enough, by getting rid of our bad habits, by learning what His will for us and working really hard to make it happen in our lives. Why isn't someone stopping me? Did you hear what I just said? The gospel is the story of Jesus and how He will save us if we will get rid of our bad habits and if we will work hard enough and if we will make sure that every word we say is correct and pure and every thought is disciplined. Thank you. Someone's trying to stop me. For it is by grace we have been saved, through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are not our own workmanship, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Faithfully, I might add, which He prepared in advance for us to do. The gospel is the fact that Jesus came and became one of us, took our sins upon us, and gave His life on the cross for us, and rose again from the dead. And through Him and our faith in Him, we are accepted in His family. Let us be faithful to that gospel. Even as we fulfill every other calling on our life of the message to lift up the truth and the present efficacy of His commandments, to be faithful to the gospel, to not get sidetracked into implying or saying in any way that you can make yourself good enough to be saved somehow, that with enough discipline you can get yourself saved and be pleasing to God. Let us be faithful to the gospel. Faithful to the very creatorship of God, and within that, to be faithful to the gospel. that Jesus Christ came to save sinners by faith. And all we can do is call out to him and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And because of Jesus, that man went to his house justified, and you and I too, trusting in Jesus, are made right with him as if we had never sinned, with a home prepared for us in heaven that no one can take away from us. Are you happy about that? I'm happy about that. Let us be faithful to the gospel. And then, within, standing up faithfully, representing the God who created us, that is so doubted so much in the world today, that is so distorted by others who don't even doubt him, standing up faithfully and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which we are saved and made new. We here at English Oaks Seventh-day Adventist Church have a further calling to be faithful to. And actually, we find it summarized in a prophetic scripture. I would invite you just to turn there to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. We're not going to read it all. But if you wonder why this church sits on this corner with a name on its sign that it has out front, it comes down to, after the fact that there is a God who loved us so much, he created us, even though he knew how much trouble we'd be, after the fact that Jesus came and we have trusted in him and what he has done, God raised up this particular group of believers, this particular group of followers of Jesus, to spearhead, not by our own might and smartness and wisdom, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, in gratitude to the God who has loved us, to spearhead his last message to the world before Jesus comes, with the simple goal of saving as many people as possible in his kingdom. Despite all the deceptions that Satan will raise and already has raised to sidetrack people from seeing God as he really is, from understanding what he's given to us and what he plans on doing in our lives and what he wants from us, he has given us this message. And I preached on this a few years ago, and we can go through this again sometime in the near future. But this is called the Three Angels' Messages of Revelation chapter 14. Summarizes the everlasting gospel to preach to everyone who lives onto the earth, on every nation, on every tribe, on every tongue, on every people, on every kind of way that you can see people as different people, no matter by ethnicity, by language, by politics. This message designed to prepare people for Jesus' coming, to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus no matter what pressures are brought to bear on them by government or religious people of any kind. This message is given to bring people and to prepare people for that and to come through faithful, come through seeing him as he really is, trusting him, going all the way through the last throes of earth's history, faithful to him. Look how this message closes in verse 12. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, my friends, this is a description of being faithful come what may. This is a description of faithfully staying loyal to him by faith in him. Here is the patience. Some translations say the patient endurance. That's a word for faithfulness, isn't it? Patient endurance. Hanging in there when the pressure tells you, just quit. Patient endurance when you might lose your job if you're faithful to God's call, as you've heard the shepherd's voice telling you how to live, what choices to make in life, keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This is the description of those who go all the way through proclaiming this message for these last days, trusting in Jesus and Jesus only for our salvation, trusting ourselves to the God who created us and loved us and made every provision for us that we need. Here is the patience of the saints. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Bible is full of examples of faithfulness. I think of the prophet Daniel. You heard of the prophet Daniel? You ever sung that song, "Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone"? Well, sometimes Daniel did have to stand alone. You might remember the story of when the emperor, the king of Persia, the Medes and the Persians said, "No one is to worship anyone or pray to anyone except me." What did Daniel do? Did Daniel say, "Well, I guess it's just not a politically expedient time for me to pray. There's too much government pressure. I have to be here for my friends, and so if I'm going to get thrown in the lion's den, how will I take care of the people I'm supposed to take care of and do the duties I'm supposed to do?" No, Daniel heard the voice of the shepherd. Daniel heard the voice of the shepherd, and the voice of the shepherd was louder and more persuasive in his life by far than the voice of any threatening king or his minions. That's faithfulness, my friends. And that wasn't the first time in Daniel's life. You think about how as a young man, he and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came and they were hauled in captivity to Babylon, away from their roots, away from their foundations. But thank God, when you follow the shepherd, your foundation goes before you. And you're always with your foundation. And so they were invited to partake in food and drink that they and their people had been asked by God not to partake in. And they were faithful in the face of the potential of being killed for not going with the king's program, in the face of having already seen in living color what happens to people who don't follow the king's program. They were brutal. They were faithful. Why? In order to earn the favor of God? No, but because they trusted the shepherd and they followed the shepherd and they listened to the shepherd's voice faithfully. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego called on the plain of Dura to worship that 90-foot tall statue. Having been called by the shepherd to say, "Don't bow down to any image, don't worship anyone but the Most High God." Under threat, if when the music sounded that they would not fall down on their faces like everyone else of the leaders across the Babylonian Empire and worship, there were the fiery furnaces belching smoke, filling the air with that acrid stench. There were the musicians playing the song at the right time. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experiencing the most severe external pressure in all of that vast plain, everyone bowing down. But praise God, they had the internal pressure of the love for the shepherd pushing them up. Do you know what I'm saying? They had the internal pressure of the love of God inside of them, both of their love for God and of their conviction that if they put Him first and were faithful to Him, His love would win in their life every time, such that when they were hauled before the king in all of his wrath and fury, and maybe at the first time a little bit of sympathy because he offered them another chance, that they turned to him and they said, "O king, we cannot bow down to your image. We know that if you throw us in your furnace, that our God is able to deliver us out of your hand. But if not, we still won't bow down." That is faithfulness, my friends. That is faithfulness. Come what may, no matter what it would cost you. They said, "We are willing to die rather than to turn our back, close our ears and our hearts to our shepherd." And it's such a beautiful picture. We could say, dare to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Dare to stand with your friends, right? Because in so many of the situations in life, while we need to be ready to stand alone, God has called us together as a church family, loving each other, standing together faithfully with God. encouraging each other, as Hebrews chapter 10 says, and all the more as we see the day approaching, exercising the gifts that He has given us to build each other up faithfully, to encourage each other, to help each other know our God better and serve our God better together, to help each other shine as lights in our community, to faithfully give His word, to speak the gospel, to speak His last day's message and live it in this world. God has called us to be together and to help each other in this process. In Revelation, the message to the church at Smyrna, the second of the messages to the seven churches, it gives these words. This picture here is a picture painted in the 1600s of Stephen, who, as Lincoln called it, gave the last full measure of devotion rather than turn his back on Jesus. As Saul held the coats of those who were stoning him, rather than turn his back on Jesus. It's because of people like him and the apostles who gave their lives rather than turn their backs on Jesus that I even believe today. They could have changed their story to save their lives, but they did not. And the call goes out to us continuing today. Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you'll have tribulation 10 days. And what does it say? Be faithful unto death. And then what? Can you read it? Did I make it too small? Is there too much glare? Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Can anyone offer you anything more than that? No, no one can offer you anything more than that. You've got a few pennies in your hand, okay? And someone told you that if you hang on to those pennies, you'll get $1 million. All right? If you hang on to those pennies faithfully, you'll get $1 million. And someone tries to persuade you to let go of those pennies. Are you going to let go of those pennies? You're not going to let go of those pennies. You're going to hang on to those pennies. When someone tries to persuade you to give up on Jesus, are you going to give up on Jesus? Are you going to, for some pittance of pleasure, some pittance of the world's favor, for some pittance of a job that you don't even like, hang on and turn your back on the one who will give you the crown of life? That's bad investing. That is bad investing. No, the call of God on us as a family is to be faithful to God, to be faithful to the gospel, to be faithful to His calling on us, and finally, within that context, to be faithful to one another, loyal, standing by each other through thick and through thin, being family to one another. Are you willing to commit to that? Not by your power, but because He is faithful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence with us today. Oh Lord, we can think back in our lives to the ups and downs. We can think of moments where we've had the joy of being faithful to You, and times when we have just blown it, where we have just utterly failed. Oh, Father, we thank You that You have always been faithful to us. We thank You that You have faithfully reached out to us in love. And every time as we've turned back to You, You have been faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Father, our deep desire this day is to be faithful to You and faithful to one another. We cannot do it in and of ourselves, Father, so continue to remind us every day by Your Spirit to get up and connect with You first thing in the morning. Please, Father, deliver us from the idea that we can just do it on our own without You and without each other. Father, please remind us to connect with each other and encourage with each other. And Father, I pray in all of those trials and temptations of life that we will fix our eyes on Jesus and all that He went through for us and go on through faithful and in faith. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please